The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Welcome to History Island, celebrating the rich history of Long Island.
Hey, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Hi, I'm Dale Spencer, your host, and you're listening to History Island on 103.9 FM LI News Radio. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the last show. So we're going to talk about a little sports and a little music tonight. There's a lot going on for the spring, so it's that time to start getting back out again, and we hope everybody can do that. Well, one thing I want to talk about is an interesting thing that's going on right now, and a lot of people might not know about it unless you're a big horse racing fan. But Belmont Racetrack, right next to the UBS Arena in Queens, is being refurbished now. So it's going to be closed for the next 2 years. So, of course, what's going to happen is, well, we just had one of the big three races, the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont. Well, the Belmont Stakes race this year and next year, they're going to be held at the Saratoga Springs Racecourse upstate. They need to redo the track, redo the grandstand. So there's a lot going on. So the Belmont Stakes race is being moved. Now, this is not the first time, if you would imagine, that the Belmont Stakes. By the way, you can get in touch with the Saratoga Racecourse, which is at 267 Union Avenue in Saratoga Springs, New York. And you can call them at 518-584-6200 and get tickets to that wonderful event. So a lot of people believe, okay, the Belmont Stakes, it's been at Belmont Racetrack for its whole history. It's named after the track. Well, not quite true. Okay, really, this is the basic history of the Belmont Stakes race. It was named after August Belmont, who was a big investor and fan of racing. But there was no Belmont Park in the beginning. In 1867, all the way up until 1889, the Belmont Stakes, created in honor of August Belmont, was held at Jerome Park Racetrack in the Bronx. And then it was eventually moved to the new racetrack they built, Morris Park, which is also in the Bronx. And that was from about 1890 to 1904. They held the Belmont Stakes race there. So there was a long history of that race being elsewhere. Then August Belmont eventually built the beautiful Belmont Park racetrack. And in 1905, the Belmont Stakes started taking its place in its own home track of Belmont Racetrack. Now, that went on all the way to 1962. In 1962, Belmont Racetrack really needed to be renovated because it had been going for 60 years at that point. So they moved the race, the Belmont Stakes, over to Aqueduct Racetrack in 1963. And in 1963, up until, let's see, 1967, that's where the race was held. All that time, they rebuilt Belmont into the more modern track that most of us have known our whole life. Then, in 1968, the race moved back to Belmont Racetrack, and it's been there up until last year. And here we are, Saratoga Racecourse, one of the oldest racetracks, by the way, in America, and that's going to hold the race for the next 2 years. And, of course, it's one of, like, the big three, the Triple Crown. It's pretty amazing. So the Jerome Park was originally built in the 1867 in the old Bathgate Estate in the Bronx. And it was there for quite a long time until 1890. And then in 1890, it was demolished so they could build Morris Park. And Morris Park ran for many years through 1904. And then, of course, it went on and on from there. Those of you who are racing fans probably know all this history. If you've never been to the Belmont Stakes, I would advise going. It's a great day of racing. It's really, really nice. Horse racing is a lot of fun, actually. You don't necessarily have to bet a lot of money to go and have a good time at the track. And, you know, enjoy yourself and get some food and some drinks. And the races are really infectious. So anyway, that's Belmont Stakes, the Belmont Stakes moving away. So it's going to be up in Saratoga this year. Also, if you want to do a really great trip for the summer, by the way, I don't have a date of that Belmont Stakes race yet, but it's going to be sometime in the next 2 months. Go up there and spend a little time in Saratoga. It's a wonderful town to go to, a really, really nice place. And anyway, so let's move on a little to another event that's going on, and that's a spring and summer event. My old friends at the Vanderbilt Museum in Centerport, Suffolk County Vanderbilt Museum. That's located at 180 Little Neck Road in Centerport. Phone number 631-854-5579. Now, you can go over there, and they are having a great spring and summer. They're going to do a lot of events. It's got a great old pipe organ in the house. If you go... If you go and do the house tour, that was built in 1895. Now, Mr. Vanderbilt himself, Willie K. Vanderbilt, he was born in 1878, the great-grandson of the great Cornelius Vanderbilt. And he was, Cornelius Vanderbilt, of course, made the fortune for that family. And Willie K. was one of the recipients of that fortune, inherited $21 million when he was a young man and his dad passed away. And, of course, he went on to do some really interesting things. One of the things he did is he built the first highway for cars built in America, and that was the Long Island Motor Parkway, which he started really building in earnest in 1904. He then held the first international road race to help raise money for that road, and that was the Vanderbilt Cup races. And the Vanderbilt Cup race was so popular that in 1906, when they held the race, it was held for a decade on Long Island, 250,000 people came to the race. That's a pretty amazing number, considering that there wasn't that many people on Long Island at that time. Anyway, there's the mansion. It's got a great ethnographic collection from all over the world. It's got two different marine museums, the curator's cottage is there. It's got a telescope. There's certain nights you can go and look through the giant telescope in the observatory, call the Vanderbilt, and they'll let you know what nights that's happening. There's the huge habitat museum that has the 40-foot whale shark in the ceiling, and that's an amazing story of its own. But go see that. The seaplane hangar, obviously, where he keep his custom-built seaplane. There's a boathouse. They're both unrestored at this point, but they're working on restoring them right now. Now, one of the real bright spots of the Vanderbilt for many years, since 1970, is the full dome projector and the laser setup in the Suffolk County Vanderbilt Museum Planetarium. They do lots of shows. They do shows every week. They've now really expanded their repertoire of shows. Great shows for little kids, middle-aged kids, adults, and, of course, the laser shows. And this spring, the really popular laser show over at the Vanderbilt has been the Taylor Swift laser show. And, of course, they play Taylor Swift music, and it's been really, really popular, selling out most of its performances. So give those guys a call, and they will let you know what their schedule is for the different things that are going on. They feature different festivals during the summer, a great car show every summer, different things. Go to their website, which is SuffolkCountyVanderbiltMuseum.org, and you can find out everything about what's going on over at the Vanderbilt Museum. A really great place, and been over 80 years in operation. And Mr. Vanderbilt, thank God for him, because he created this museum during his lifetime, and he created it to leave us all behind for all of us so that we could enjoy seeing these things from all over the world. Of course, at the time when he did that, it was a little hard to travel around the world. So when he was bringing things back in the 1930s, creating the museum, that was in the time when, yeah, you couldn't jump on an airplane and just fly. Airline travel really hadn't started happening yet. So he would go all over the world and get these amazing things. And of course, when you're over there, don't fail to go see the Egyptian mummy, the only one on Long Island. Amazing story, an amazing find, and legally brought over to the United States and on display for all to see. So we're going to talk about some more events that are going on Long Island. I'm going to talk about the Long Island Music Hall of Fame's events that are going on. And they have a lot of things going on. Of course, the obvious thing is My Life, 50 Years of Billy Joel, the giant exhibit running this year at the Long Island Music Hall of Fame. It's a great museum. It's an amazing exhibit. Billy gave us a lot of things and really helped set that up. But anyway, we're going to talk a little more about that when we come back from our break. So you are listening to History Island on 103.9 FM LA News Radio, and I am Dale Spencer, your host. See you after the break.
Hi, my name is Mike Cuevas.
And I'm Lisa Steffens, and we work at BLD's restaurant on Hawkins Avenue in Ronkonkoma. And we would love for everybody to come on down and visit us and check out our food items and our friendly atmosphere. We decorate all the time year-round. And like I said, we are family-owned. I'm there 20 years. Mike next to me is there about 15. And we would love everybody to come in and join us.
Yeah, you have to try our pancakes, our waffles, our French toast, even our ribs are good. Burgers are great as well. And don't forget, our police officers, our veterans, our fire department. We give discounts for veterans, police officers, 7 days a week.
So come on down and visit us. Our business hours are 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. And we're known for your home away from home.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. So, like I said, you're listening to History Island, LI News Radio, 103.9 FM, and I'm Dale Spencer, your host, your history guy. So before we go any farther, let me just update that story about the Belmont Stakes. And the Belmont Stakes this year will be on Saturday, June 8th, probably about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So if you want to do a nice trip for that weekend, beautiful, beautiful place to go. Anyway, before we go any farther, let me talk about one of our sponsors, and that's if you're traveling. Take LI Elite Limo to your airport run, your wine party, your tailgate party at a concert or a ball game, your winery trips in the summer, birthday parties, proms, anything like that where you might need a limo. Most reliable limo company on Long Island, without a doubt. They're located at 768 Middle Country Road, St. James. And you can give them a call anytime at 631-331-5466. You can talk to Charlie or Reggie or Chris or Matt, and they will take care of you like you're family over there. Very reliable company. They're going to show up on time, and they're going to show up with a beautiful luxury car for you to take your trip in. So use them. They're a great, great company. So anyway, we were talking a little about the Long Island Music and Entertainment Hall of Fame. So a lot of events are going on up there. Like I said, the main event for this year has been the big My Life 50 Years of Billy Joel exhibit. Now, we spent a year setting that up, and Billy was a really big help in that. He opened up his personal collection of memorabilia, among other people did that too, and he set it all up. It is the most amazing thing. Now, if you really, really like Billy Joel, this is a must-see. You can't really afford to not go see it. During this whole thing, in our video room, high-quality video room, good sound, comfortable seats, we are playing four complete Billy Joel concerts every day that the exhibit is open. Now, also, they do concerts on Sundays. So as your admission to the Billy Joel exhibit will also be admission to everything that goes on at the museum. So on Sundays, they bring in various local live people, some really, really good talent. And that's a developing thing over at the museum there. They're developing this music program, and it's a really great music program. And some fairly prominent people have played there too, as well as the local people you might not know as well. But everybody is picked for the talent level, and the concerts have just been tremendous. It's a beautiful, intimate space with really good sound, And I just go over and check it out. It's a nice day over in Stony Brook Village anyway. You might go over there, go to the museum. There's also the Stony Brook Museum down the block. There's a couple of great restaurants there right in the Village Center where the museum is located. And you could have a really nice day over there. While you're there, you might take a trip up the hill to the All Souls Church next door, up at the top of the hill. And that was designed by Stanford White. So, yeah, go over and check it out. It's been pretty busy over there with the Billy Joel exhibit, but you definitely can get tickets. You don't have to reserve them way in advance anymore. They've managed to figure out the crowds, and it's going pretty smoothly now. So, you know, go check that out. Now, hang on. I'm just looking at my notes here. And we have some events coming up for Mother's Day. Of course, Mother's Day is coming up. And it's May 12th, 2024. So it's the second Sunday in May. And that is a great time to honor your mother, your grandmother, your great-grandmother. It's, you know, one of those important events in our life. There would be none of us without our mother. That's all you can really say about it. Mother's Day was 100th anniversary in 2014. President Woodrow Wilson made it a law in 1914 to make Mother's Day a national holiday. Now, before that, it had existed and had been a federal holiday. But it became, thanks to Woodrow Wilson, for making it a national holiday. So hang on, my research director has another note for me here about that.
It's not a federal holiday. It says not.
Okay, so anyway... Oh, let's see. The Long Island Ducks are going to hold a special Mother's Day brunch prior to the team's 1:30 p.m. game against the Hagerstown Flying Boxcars. I haven't seen that team yet, but this pretty good league. That's going to be Sunday, May 12th, and that's going to be 1:30, and a day over at the Ducks Stadium is an amazing day. The buffet over there is going to include a wide variety of different food and beverages to enjoy. The picnic area, that'll be open for brunch at 12:05 and conclude at the first pitch. So you'll have about 90 minutes over there to have a nice picnic in the picnic area. Check the place out. I can guarantee you that anything that Frank Bolton runs is going to be a high-quality thing. That's what he does with the Ducks. Let's see some details. The brunch package for that is $45 for adults and $40 for children. Big giant buffet. Children ages three or younger sitting on an adult's lap during the game will be admitted free. So if you got the really little ones, you can bring them for free. To reserve your package, just call the Ducks Group Sales Department and you can get in touch with them at 631-940-3825. Great event. Duck Stadium, amazing place to go. A lot of fun. Other Mother's Day events. We have a few more things going on. And let's see, we have a Mother's Day brunch going on at the East Wind in Raiding River. And if any of you know that place, it's quite amazing. It's at 5720 Route 25A in Wading River, New York. You can reach them at 631-929-6585. Now, that's that one for adults is $74.95 plus tax. Children 3 to 10, $35 for the children. So, you know, it's a little pricey event, but it's also a really top shelf place to go. Now, let's say you don't have the money to go and people are having a rough time this year, a lot of people. Well, you know what? You get your mother and you do a barbecue and you bring her out somewhere to a nice place. You don't really have to spend money to have a great, great day with your mother. And I wish I had my mother still to have that with. My mother passed in 98 and God, we miss her ever from that time on. And I'm sure there's some of you like that out there. But if you got your mother, cherish her because you can't replace your parents. They're very important to your life. So anyway, that's some events that are going on over there. Now let's see what else. I think we might have another really good one. Oh, yeah, I forgot about this. Windows on the Lake, our friends over at Windows on the Lake, 235 Lakeshore Road in Lake Ronkonkoma. They're doing a Mother's Day brunch also, and that's going to go on all day from 10 to 4:30. A full menu, reservations online. You can call them at 631-737-0088. Of course, you can also get in touch with them online. Just look up Windows on the Lake. They do a lot of events. They do really high-quality events. They recently just did the free wedding event that JBC Broadcasting had done. The couple that won the wedding had their wedding over at Windows on the Lake, and it was an amazing day. I went over and visited them, too, because I was, as part of the radio station, I wanted to check out what was going on, and they had such a good time, and they were so grateful to have that free wedding, and the family, it was really great, and the food was spectacular at that event. So anyway, you can go check out Windows on the Lake. They do events all the time, different kind of parties and dance things and performances, always with some really good food and drinks in one of the really historic old buildings in Lake Ronkonkoma, right along the lake, overlooking the lake. And the building that they use was built in 1910, and it was originally called George Bush's Tourist Rest. And it was a fancy hotel for guests to stay in who wanted to come out and visit the lake. Well, Anthony and is still running it to this day. He refabbed the whole place, saved the building from destruction many years ago. And it had been a bar for many years. And he has turned it into one of the really, really nice places to go do events like that. So as the summer comes along, we're, of course, going to have a lot of events going on. There's going to be all kinds of events. Of course, the summer concerts at Jones Beach. The Patchogue Theater is doing a full slate of shows this summer, 101 years old. The Bolton Center in Bayshore is doing a whole set of shows. The Westbury Music Fair, one new corporate name again this year, but we just all call it Westbury. They're also doing shows. Forest Hill Stadium is going to have some shows. So there's going to be a lot going on this summer. And a lot of country acts at the Brookhaven Amphitheater, which is, of course, run by our own JVC Broadcasting. So go check some of those events out. Anyway, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of other interesting things. So you are listening to History Island, 103.9 LI News Radio. I'm Dale Spencer, your host. Come on back. Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to History Island, 103.9 FM, LI News Radio. And this show is History Island with your host, Dale Spencer. That's me. So anyway, thanks for coming back, everybody. Before we go any farther, I just want to mention the two people that helped me with this show that are the reason this show goes so smooth and so great. First of all, a big round of applause for Giff, our producer, John Gifford. Yay, John. And our research director, Janet Richbeater, and also our announcer who introduces the show now. Thank you, Janet. Okay, so a couple more events before we get on to anything else. One thing I want to talk about is it's starting really soon, in a couple of days, the gigantic spring Bald Hill Fair up at Bald Hill, May 9th to the 19th, 2024. So it's at the Bald Hill Amphitheater. That is at One Ski Run Lane in Farmingville, New York. And, of course, to get to that, you take Exit 63 off the expressway, go north, and it's off the LIE, and there's signs, and you'll find it. Right off Bicycle Path. That's the best way in that I've found. Now, they're going to have some amazing things there. It's a really great fair. Going to the 19th, 9th to the 19th. Grouchy Fireworks every Saturday. Usually a really good show. Lots of bands. One of the bands that's playing, I haven't seen these guys yet, but I heard they're good, is Fleetwood Mac. You know, of course, doing the Fleetwood Mac set. And every couple of days, they have a really good band. What I would do is I would look them up to find out who the bands are at that event. But that's a great, great spring event. I've gone to it many, many years myself. The Bald Hill Spring Fair, May 9th to the 19th. Also, Cold Spring Harbor Whaling Museum, who we talk about them a little on this show, they are having the New York State Safe Boating Course is going to happen on May 11th there. And that's the official course. That's going to be 8:30 to 4:30. And it's $35 for the course. New York State education requirements for personal watercraft. Get your permit, and it'll set you all up. Now, they have some amazing things going on at that museum. And we're friends with them, and we've been talking to them, and they're going to come on the show sometime this summer and talk more about what they do. But you can find them at 301 Main Street, Cold Spring Harbor, New York, 631-367-3418. The Cold Spring Harbor Whaling Museum. Great, great place. Okay, so now anyway, we got another really fun event going on. So, of course, it's baseball season again. So, thanks to Steve Cohen, the Mets are starting to be a more legitimate team now after a long, long, dry spell for them. And it's a work in progress right now, but it's moving right along. So now, if you want to get Mets tickets, obviously there's a million ways to get them online, but you can always call the ticket office at 718-565-4360. And of course, Citi Field is at 41 Seaver Way in Queens, New York. Now, they're having an interesting event going on, and this is going to happen on May 15th, coming up really soon. The Mets have put out auditions for a new Mr. Met. Okay, so you can audition, give the Mets a call, get in touch with them. The interviews and the auditions will be on May 15th. So don't waste any time calling the Mets if you're interested in doing this this character. It's a career, really. It's not just a guy who comes out once in a while. Mr. Met, by the way, made his first appearance as a cartoon in 1963. Then he made his live appearance in front of fans in 1964. And interestingly enough, he was the first mascot in Major League Baseball history to exist live in a ballpark. Pretty significant thing. Most teams had a mascot shortly after. His female companion is Mr. Met. She was originally introduced in 1975, and she was reintroduced in 2013. Now, there's only three Major League Baseball teams that don't have mascots at this point. The LA Dodgers, the Los Angeles Angels, and, of course, the New York Yankees, who also don't have their names on their uniforms to this day. Now, the job title for this job is Manager of Mascot Operations. The ideal candidate will have to have a strong passion for entertainment, a real personality, and a knack for engaging and interacting with all the crazy Met fans of all ages that are out there. We all know what it's like over at Citi Field. The mascot will attend various events, both on and off site, to promote the brand and create a fun and dynamic environment. It's just part of that resurgence of the Mets. You can make anywhere from $60,000 to $80,000 a year doing that job. It's a career. It's not just a part-time job. If you're interested, get your application quickly, because the candidates must be able to audition on the evening of May 15th, real shortly down the line. So good luck, everybody. Hopefully, we'll be seeing the new Mr. Met soon. And hopefully, the way things are going, the Mets are going to be in the playoffs this year, and we're going to have a lot of fun with that. So anyway, that's all about the New York Mets. So now let's turn to music for a minute. And I want to talk about another piece of music history, an important piece of Long Island music history. If you were a young person in the 70s and you were going out to the clubs and the concerts and seeing bands, you definitely saw this band. Okay? They were called at one point by Rolling Stone magazine the world's most famous unknown band. And one of the members of Journey, after touring with these guys, called them the greatest band in the world. And I'm talking about none other than Long Island's own Good Rats. Yes, the Good Rats. Now, some of you out there might have never heard of the Good Rats, but they were one of the best bands you would ever see. They made 5 albums in their time. They did a lot of gigs. They warmed up and played at concerts for Bruce Springsteen, Aerosmith, the Ramones, Ozzy Osbourne. They even warmed up for the Grateful Dead, a pretty daunting task. They opened up for Kiss, Journey. They played at all places, the Spectrum, the Madison Square Garden, the Nassau Coliseum, of course. They played at the Cobo Arena in Detroit, and we're going to get to what that's all about in a minute. They played all over the world. Now, they were a band that was so good they should have been a worldwide success. But for whatever reason, kind of unknown reasons, the band never really made it past the success on Long Island. But for years and years and years, they packed every place they ever played. And the good rats were Pepe Marcello, Mickey Marcello, his brother, the great Joey Franco on drums, John the Cat Gatto, one of the best guitar players you would ever hear, and Lenny Kaki on bass. So anyway, that's the good rats. Now, before we go any further, let's hear a live song by the good rats.
Live, the one, the only, the good rats!
Oh yeah, the Good Rats. So that's one of their really popular songs off their third album. That's a live version, Taking It to Detroit, and it was all about a big trip they did to Cobo Arena in Detroit and played a big show there, and it was like kind of the big coming out for them. So anyway, they got together in 1964 originally. It was five students from St. John's University. And of course, the lead singer was always Pepe Marcello, the originator of the band and the songwriter of most songs. They were called the U-Men in the early days. And they kept playing and playing. In 1966, they got a gig in Queens. And at that gig, there was a record company executive, and he actually signed them up. And they were playing all kinds of Long Island places. Well, he started working on some, he wanted them to work on a lot more original songs, and he wanted them to change the name of the band. So next thing you know, they were the Good Rats, and they were playing in Long Island, the Rockaways, New York City, New Jersey, and they kept building themselves up and building themselves up. But in 1969, they made their first album, and they put that album out, and it did really well. And they were, of course, on the major Long Island touring circuit with the other bands like Zebra and Rat Race Choir and Twisted Sister. I guess if you're young enough, you might not know who most of these bands are, but they were all tremendous, a part of a really great music scene of Long Island. In 1974, the Good Rats put out the album Tasty. That drove them over the top, and that started getting national airplay. And they had three different songs that got national airplay. But they still couldn't manage to just break through and become a giant national band. But Pepe, their singer, became a real entertainer. He would carry a baseball bat on stage. He would play air guitar on the bat. They would take a big garbage can and bring it out and throw rubber rats to the crowd. People loved that band. Anyway, they kept putting albums out. Now, we're going to listen to another song now that they put out in 1976 on their Rat City and Blue album. And this is another really good song called Does It Make You Feel Good? there they are, the Good Rats. So anyway, look them up on YouTube. A lot of great concerts up by them. You'll love them. Buy the albums if you can find them. Anyway, we're going to go out tonight with one more song, the biggest hit they ever had. And it is called Tasty. Good night, everybody.
In the land, well, he was going nowhere fast. Speed ain't nothing without class. He could not play Tasty, oh no. Tasty like this man here, John Gatto on guitar. Tasty, ooh, Tasty. Anytime we mellow out. We had a man named Crazy Art. He overplayed his bass a lot. We had to kick him in the pants. His fingers moved like bodies dance. Could not play Tasty, oh no. Tasty like this man here. On the bass, Lenny Kutke. Tasty, ooh, Tasty. Anytime we mellow out. We had a drummer named Joe. He played so fast we let him go. He ran away with all our songs. Now he's in school where he belongs. Could not play Tasty, oh no. Tasty like this man. Joe Franco on the drums. Tasty. Anytime we mellow out, we got some tasty harmony. Sometime in two, sometime in three. We like to sing an hour then. Mostly we save it for the end. And for Mickey on guitar.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.